It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
John chapter 11, verse 46, tells us that some of those Jews who were present at the raising of Lazarus, that some of those people did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 46 tells us what they did. It says, "But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done." Verse 47, "Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, 'What do we? For this man doeth many miracles.'" They wanted to know what to do. They were at a place in their lives as the religious leaders. Here, they did not know what to do because here was one who had come on the scene who was able to do the miracles that they couldn't. They really couldn't deny that he was from God, but they didn't want to admit that. That's the Pharisees and the scribes and some of the Jewish people, of course, is who I'm speaking of. Verse 48 says, "If we let him thus alone," these are the people now after they had called the council, they said, "If we leave him alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." These people were held in high esteem. They did not want to lose their position as leaders, not only of the Jewish people, but once again of the nation. And people looked up to them. And they were afraid that someone, Jesus, who came along, they were afraid of him, that he was going to take away the things that they had, and he was going to take over, and he would be the religious leader. But they didn't want that happening. Well, notice in verse 49 of John chapter 11, it says, "And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, 'Ye know nothing at all.'" He said, "You really don't know anything." He's talking about the scribes and Pharisees. He said, "You guys, you just don't know what's happening. You just don't have enough experience to understand what's going on here." Now notice verse 50. He says, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us. In other words, it's necessary for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. Now listen to what he's speaking of here, and he didn't even know it. Verse 51. "And this spake he not of himself." Now Caiaphas, he wasn't speaking of himself as dying, one person dying for the nation. But being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for that nation. In other words, he was already making plans for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was planned before the foundation of the world, because God knew that mankind would be sinful and that mankind would need a Savior. And of course, we know by reading the scriptures that by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. And that one man was Adam, of course. He disobeyed God and he ate of that forbidden tree that he was told not to eat of. He ate of it and plunged mankind into sin. Now, let me stop here and remind you that we cannot blame Adam for our personal sin. We have to give an account of ourselves to God. Now, it says that sin entered into the world by this one man. That's how it came. But there is an answer to the sin problem within our own lives, and that answer is Jesus Christ. His blood not only covers our sin, his blood takes away the sin, and it's no more. Past, present, and future. No one goes to heaven with sin. And that's the reason we needed a Savior. And Jesus Christ is a Savior. Now, notice we get back to our study. Caiaphas said that somebody's going to have to die. And he wasn't speaking of himself. He didn't even realize what he was saying here. Because, he didn't really believe that Jesus was the Savior. But he was looking at Jesus to be crucified. And of course, Jesus came for one purpose, and that was to go to the cross of Calvary. He was to shed his blood. Verse 51 again says, "And this spake he not of himself," this is Caiaphas, But being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. He was telling them, look, this guy has to die. You need to get rid of him. He needs to die. Verse 52, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. This speaking of Jesus. He would not only die for that nation, as Caiaphas had said, and Caiaphas didn't realize that he would also, he would gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Now, scattered abroad. The Jewish people would be scattered after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were, they had believed on him, and they started telling other people how to be saved. This was after the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection. They were telling people how to be saved, and they got scattered. You remember back at the Tower of Babel, how that God had already told the people, you need to go into all the world, even back then. He said, you need to go out and you need to multiply and replenish the earth and fill up the earth, in other words. Well, the people did not do that. They stayed together in Babel. And that's the reason we hear about the Tower of Babel. We read about that in the scriptures. And the tongues were confused. In other words, the languages were confused. And this was done so that the people would be scattered, so that they would go forth and spread what God wanted them to do. And the first thing he told them to do was replenish the earth. In other words, fill up the earth. Well, God tells people that they are to go forth and spread the gospel today. Well, back then, as the early church got started, God scattered the people. He had the people scattered because of persecution. Persecution arose and they scattered. Well, why did this take place? It's so the gospel could be taken into all the world. Verse 53 says, and from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. See, these people wanted to put Jesus to death because of Caiaphas. Caiaphas had told them, you got to kill this guy. You got to get rid of him because people are looking up to him. He's doing these miracles. Get rid of him and your problem is solved. I believe that's what he was telling these people here, the scribes and Pharisees. Verse 54, Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. Now, let me back up and say that Jesus would die for the nation. He would die for his people, the Jewish people, but Jesus would also die for the whole world. Later on, we read how that there's neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek. In other words, there's everybody's the same in the sight of God. Everybody's a human being, and everybody deserves to be saved, and everybody can be saved if they will trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. But Jesus would not only die for the Jewish people here and the nation, but he would die for the whole world. And that's what it's talking about up here, that he should not only die for them, but also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. It makes no difference who you are and where you are. If you're a child of God, you're one of his. You may be of a different race than me. You may be a female. You may be a male. You may be a child. It makes no difference who you are. We're brothers and sisters in Christ because we've trusted him. He not only died for the Jewish nation, he died for the whole world. He died for us. There's neither bond nor free, Jew or Greek, for we are all one in Jesus Christ. He died for us. Now notice, Jesus would no longer walk among these Jews. He had to leave because it was not time for him to die on the cross of Calvary. Verse 55, and the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves, as they stood in the temple, what think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now, remember, Jesus' notoriety had gone forth. He had not only had he raised Lazarus from the dead, but we've read how that he restored the sight to a blind man. Actually, the man was blind from birth, and he gave him sight. Then we read many other things that took place in the book of John, how that he healed a man who was infirmed, and many other things did he do. He did a lot of miracles. He did a lot of work that these people had seen, and they looked for him. They wanted to know, well, is he coming here? What's going to take place? Verse 57 says, now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. Well, the chief priests were out to kill him. The chief priests and the Pharisees, they sent out this order that they anybody who knew where he was at, knew where Jesus was at, they were to come forth, and they would tell the ones in charge so that they could kill him. And that's exactly what they're talking about here. They were listening now to Caiaphas, the high priest, who said, if you want to do something, if you want to rid yourself of this person, kill him. Make sure he's dead, and therefore you have no more problems. Well, might I say that's what they thought, and that's what he thought. Because Jesus Christ, he would not be silent even after death. He's speaking to us today even through his word. He's given us the word of God that we would not be left in the dark, not knowing what to do as saved people, or not to know what to do as an unsaved person in order to get saved. He's given us his word that we can be saved by understanding that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and also that our faith is not in someone who is dead, but our faith is in someone who is alive and with God the Father right now. Well, they sent out the word that if anyone knew where Jesus was at, they were to turn him in so that they could kill him. In chapter 12 and verse 1 says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Now, we're thinking back once again now. This verse is taking us back, chapter 11, reminding us that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. He was back in Bethany. And verse 2 goes on to say, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. Remember, Martha was the sister of Lazarus. And it says that, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, here's the one Jesus had raised from the dead. He was alive. He was still alive. He was there, and he was having supper. He was eating with our Lord Jesus Christ. They made him a supper. Martha served, and Lazarus was there eating with Jesus. Verse 3, then took Mary, Lazarus' sister, took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Might I say today that just as the house was filled there with the fragrance of the ointment, when Jesus is present in our lives and present in our everyday doings for him, there is a sweet savor, a sweet fragrance that goes up to the Father, because he is pleased when we lift up Jesus Christ. When a person gets saved, that's like a sweet odor in the nostrils of God. When we do the things of God as saved people, he's very pleased. And it's like a sacrifice of sweet-smelling savor that goes to God the Father. Let's serve him. Let's do what God wants us to do. First you get saved, and then you serve him out of the love, because he first loved us.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.